Let us pray. O gracious Holy Spirit, shape and bless the humble and human words I speak, and the thoughts, feelings, and responses of those who hear, that this might be a time when we begin to allow this good news to enter in and change our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. I really love that passage from Luke. I love hearing those words. It only comes around once every 3 or 4 years, but I'll tell them to myself on Easter Sunday. They remind me of a beloved classic film where you know the line is coming. You're waiting for it. The line that sums up the whole movie and brings everyone, all the characters in the film, the dramatis personae, into the story that you've known from the beginning and you've been waiting for them once again to hear. It might be after all the usual suspects have been rounded up and you hear that wonderful line, Louis, as they walk into the airport and into the fog, Louis, this is the start of a wonderful friendship. Or maybe it's at the end when everyone is streaming into the Bailey house and George is there holding Zuzu in his arms and his little brother, Harry, finally makes it in and he holds up his glass and says, everyone, a toast to my brother, George, the richest man in town. Or maybe it's the end of A Christmas Carol, when Scrooge has just raised the salary of Bob Cratchit, and he tells him, Bob, I haven't lost my senses. I've come to them. That word that brings us all into the fullness of the story, that allows us all to be one in the joy and the realization of what should have been known from the beginning. The joy we hear when those women still bound in grief and night, their faces bowed to the ground in fear, hear the words, why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but has risen. Those are the words that tell us that this day is for all of us. It isn't for those who knew it was going to happen, who had listened to Jesus on the road, who could see in him something they had seen in no one else, and were just waiting for the resurrection. No, it's for everyone who doesn't believe it can happen. For everyone who walks still in doubt and darkness and thinks this day has not come, it is for those women and for those disciples and all the rest. Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but has risen. This day is for all of us. There is an amazing painting which delivers this message in a profound way. The great art critic, cultural critic, and novelist Aldous Huxley called this the greatest painting in the world. It's The Resurrection by an artist named Piero della Francesca. And Piero, well, he was known in his time as a mathematician. But he did in this painting something that no artist had ever done before, to communicate an event which had no precedence. Now, what he did was gave this painting two vanishing points. two points of perspective which make it come alive. Most artists have copied him ever since. Picasso, he was a copycat. There is his mathematics at work. There's a perfect triangle, if you can make that out, geometrically set. Jesus is the pinnacle of what this painting is trying to express. And he does it in this vanishing point which moves right through Jesus, so you are looking right at him. It's so important that you get the visual here, because this is the declaration that this is for you. If you walked anywhere in the sanctuary, those eyes would follow you. They do not let you go. And he sets this up so you have to look directly into the eyes of Jesus. But there are, of course, the others, the guards. They are fallen below. Here they are still sleeping. Jesus is at the point where he is just emerging from the tomb. The world, and they represent all of us, still sleep in not knowing what love has done. And in an act of great humility, Piero painted himself as one of the sleeping guards. But he does so with a beautiful hint that sleeping figure is leaning back on the staff of Jesus to show that even though he's still half asleep, even though he cannot entirely comprehend the grandeur and the joy of what has taken place, he still knows enough to lean on this truth for his life. And so we have the two perspectives. And if it's hard to pick up on a screen, especially one with the little background light working against us, but if you saw that painting in person, the figure of Jesus leaps off it at you. Because of that change in perspective, this picture declares the resurrection in an incredibly vital way. A genius and a man of great faith at work. And yet, in some ways, he depicts the resurrection in the way a lot of the West depicts this event. So often you have, again, this figure of the risen Jesus and everyone else asleep or falling away at his feet. Beautiful one by Matthias Grunewald, the glowing light of Jesus and the guards falling at his feet. And here is Rubens again, the traditional form of the Western resurrection scene, the human beings falling asleep, terrified at the feet, saying, "Look what I have done, do you understand?" But there is something I like about the Orthodox faith. And what is done in the classic rendition of Eastern Orthodox artists of this day and of this scene, which declare that this is for all of us. This is the classic icon depicting the resurrection. There you see Jesus surrounded by this special light, this divine light, and on each side of him is reaching out, and there is an old man and an old woman, and they are Adam and Eve. The declaration in this rendition of God's grace is that all humanity, past, present, and future, is taken up in this day. It is for all of us. Now, in this picture in the foreground, and it's hard again to see, but what you see there are the doors of hell broken down, that darkness underneath. And in that darkness, there is nothing. There is no one left in hell. Hell is full of broken chains and broken locks. Everyone is set free. This is for all of us. In the image of Jesus there, I want you to take note as he's reaching out to humanity. They aren't reaching him. I think the picture is a little distorted here. What's going on is that Jesus is taking them by the wrists. They are weak. They are tired. They could not reach out to him. He has gone and grabbed them. And he is pulling them into life. It is a powerful declaration. There it is. That he has pulled us on this day, all of us, into the hope and truth of this risen life. I'm going to go back to that picture. What you see there, in fact, it's that dark figure. In this rendition, there is a figure in hell, and that is death, bound and chained. Death dies this day, and humanity and all creation is drawn into risen life. So important to understand that about Easter Sunday. It isn't a display of entertainment. It is an embrace of love, which is to call all creation into its hope and power and service. And just so, it is a magnificent thing. As you see, people feel that tug of life and are drawn into this day. This man is named Niksa Him. He was a Cambodian refugee who spent some time in the hell of the killing fields of Cambodia, where his family were killed. I'm not going to go into his story now. I've told that at 9 o'clock. I know some people have stayed for both, so I like to give you a little entertainment. I'll just bring this to a conclusion by saying he came to Canada and there he found a relation with Jesus. And his hatred and his need for vengeance ended and he went back to Cambodia and there he preaches the way of life and he builds schools and he builds churches and he builds hospitals. Now, this young woman is named Angela King. Angela is a person who rebelled when she was a teenager. She grew up in a fairly well-to-do middle-class home in Florida. She was sent to a private school. One parent was a Roman Catholic and one was a Baptist, and she was required to go to both churches, but there she didn't learn about the unity of God's love in Jesus. She learned about the tug and pull of two parents who were fighting over her. And those parents became divorced, and Angela rebelled. She actually also developed a fairly good hatred for herself, as children sometimes do when they're parents are divorced, they take that pain upon themselves and blame themselves somehow. So Angela went out to suffer in the world, and she found some people who would hate her with her. They were the skinheads. She joined a white supremacist group. She had swastikas tattooed on her body. And she lived for a while the life of a white supremacist, flying the Confederate flag from a house where they lived from place to place. They would do petty robberies, and then one night, her abusive boyfriend drove her to a place, got out of the car with a crowbar, and almost killed a man for being gay. They fled, and she began to wonder. It was later when they robbed an adult video store because they thought the owner would be Jewish, and they almost beat the owner to death. But the police finally tracked her down, and she was arrested. She cooperated with the trial judge and was given 3 years, but the first year of which she spent in solitary confinement. She was afraid what would happen to her in that jail where there weren't only white supremacists. She got long sleeves to cover up her swastikas. But eventually she was released into the general population. And something amazing happened. She began to talk to people. People actually found her and sought her out. And the people who were kindest to her were a group of Jamaican women. And she couldn't believe it. She heard from them. They said to her, "You know, I grew up in a neighborhood where there were no white people, and so I hated them." And then I came to know one. They spoke to her from a place of faith, and she began to hear them from a place where she didn't hate herself so much anymore. She began to go to school in prison, and she began to teach others to read in prison, and she began to feel that there was another way to proceed in life than hatred. Now, Angela King has formed an organization called Life Beyond Hate. And they seek out young people who had been lost to white supremacist groups, and they seek out young people who have been lost to Islamic fundamentalist groups. And they bring them into relationship with one another that they might be pulled out of hell and into life. For there is life after hate. In fact, it is only the only life there is to be had. And on this day, this Easter day, it is declared that this life, this day is for all of us. I'm going to finish with the story of this artist. His name is Hu Qi. He is a wonderful painter of religious art. He began his life as an atheist in communist China. His father was a university professor, his mother a teacher of languages, and he was a very brilliant and articulate young man. But in the time of the Cultural Revolution in the 1960s, where all the academics and all the imperialists, or at least those accused of being so, were sent into the countryside to humble themselves by doing manual labor, well, Hu Qi didn't like that. He looked for a way out. He couldn't help but notice that there was an inexhaustible hunger for paintings of Mao Zedong. And so one night he went to a person who was a former art professor, and he asked him to teach him to paint. And he did. And he learned to draw Mao Zedong, and he actually entered into a competition for drawing a portrait of Mao Zedong, and he won the competition, so he was released from manual labor. But while he learned to paint, he found a portrait by Rubens of the Madonna and Child, of Jesus and Mary. And that portrait for him as an artist radiated so much peace and life. He became curious about this story of which he had never heard. And when he was released to go to Germany to study art, where he gained his doctorate in art, he also became a Christian. And he was able to leave China. He stopped painting portraits of Mao and started painting portraits of Jesus. And this is his rendition of the resurrection. And in a beautiful way, it brings together the truth that this is a day for all of us. For he draws heavily upon the traditions of Buddhist art, which is noted for its simplicity. and its peace. Buddhist art places a high emphasis on placidity. Usually it depicts scenes of great peaceful nature and uses only black and white to keep away from anything that would complicate life. Well, he has taken that basic form and thrown so much color into it. And there you see his understanding. He doesn't paint Jesus. No one saw Jesus rise from the grave. They only encountered him afterward. But there is the announcing angel. And around her, you see the women bowed still, half asleep, not knowing the truth that had happened. And at the bottom, in the foreground, you see the demons running in fear. But at the center, the announcing angel holds up not a banner, a warlike banner with a flag on it declaring victory, but a lily standing for peace and purity. And yet out of that still center you see the motion exploding to all the world that this day is for all of us. Let us pray. O gracious God, on this day you have reached out to all creation and are pulling them by the sure insights of your love into the embrace of life. Allow us to allow ourselves to be pulled. In Jesus' name, amen.